Let's start our series today. We're in a series now called Vertical Talks, and we just wrapped up our series called Supernatural, which actually was technically called Hypernatural. But today we're going to talk about Vertical Talks. And Vertical Talks is really just a sequel to our last series called Supernatural. And this is all about communication. We all communicate, whether we're introverts or extroverts, if that's even a thing. We all communicate to some degree and some level. We have the ability now to communicate to a mass amount of people, unlimited amount of people, really, through social media. We can communicate through Snapchat. We can communicate through Instagram. We can communicate through Facebook. We can communicate through YouTube. It's incredible the amount of platforms that all of us have to be able to communicate to an unlimited number of people. We can communicate through Twitter, if you so choose. You can communicate all over the place. You can also communicate to specific groups of people. You can communicate to individuals through various messaging apps. You can communicate through text messages, DMs, PMs, emails, Marco Polos, Facebook Messenger, Voxer. There are so many different things that you can communicate to people back and forth. How many of you have ever sent a text message to the wrong person before that really shouldn't have gone to that person? Yeah, how many of you were talking about someone to someone else and you sent it to the person you were talking about instead of to the person you wanted to talk to them about? Never happened, right? Never. So, yeah, don't just watch your mind as you're sending stuff and get real confused real quick. How many of you have posted things on social media you probably shouldn't have before and you learned real quick? How many realize that communication over comment sections in YouTube and Facebook, those don't make friends? Have you noticed that before? Like, you can get in some deep arguments real quick over the most innocent of things. And so there's things we learn about communication. Some of you are old school. Some of you are so old school, you might actually write a letter. I've actually written more letters over the last year, I think, than I've ever written my entire life. I can remember around the year 2004 when text messaging was really becoming the thing. I actually remember myself thinking, I will never send a text message. This is dumb. I'm going to just call. Why would I send a text if I could talk to someone on the phone? Now I get ticked if someone calls me on the phone. And I'm like, why wouldn't they text me? So we write letters. Some of you send emails. We send emails. We send letters. Some companies still will only take things via fax. It's like, you might as well ask for a smoke signal. Like, What is a fax? How does one even fax? And so fax, email, letter writing, and then, yeah, some of you are strange and still like to talk on the phone. And then if you get real radical in today's day and age, you might actually have a face-to-face conversation with someone. Incredibly radical. And there are things that you can do face-to-face that you just can't do over messaging, email, or phone calls. You can hear voice inflection. You can sense people's presence. You can tell by what's going on with their eyes, how they're communicating. And there's some people say that 90% of communication actually happens in nonverbal ways. And whether we're speaking or using sign language, that's like 10% of the communication we're actually trying to get across. And so there's something that's in common about all of those particular forms of communication, and that's that those are horizontal conversations. Those are horizontal talks. You say, what does that mean, horizontal? It means we're talking to others on the same plane of existence as we are, if you will. Horizontally, person to person, man to man, woman to woman, people to dogs. How many of you talk? Dogs are great listeners, by the way. Way better than people. And so we talk to things, we talk to animals, we talk to people on a horizontal level, the same plane of existence. And that's the kind of communication that we're typically used to. But oftentimes we get so consumed with the horizontal conversation, which is crucial and which is so needed in our lives, that we can forget about the conversation that goes the other direction, which I would call a vertical talk. A vertical talk is us communicating with God. A vertical talk is God speaks to us, and because he speaks to us, we speak to him in return. And so our conversations should not only be horizontal, but they are also vertical. But if you were to just communicate vertically, that would be unhealthy as well. Conversations have to be horizontal. And so you say, well, what conversation is most important? I would say it's all important, up and down, side to side. There's all sorts of communication. And so if you were to ask, what's the one thing that I need to walk away with over these next 4 weeks for this series. It's just simply this. We can talk to God. We can talk to God. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to be leading with my wife a trip to Israel, and we have the opportunity when you go to Israel to go to the Western Wall of the old city of Jerusalem. And you may have seen on TV or been there yourself or looked online and seen people going. They put prayer requests written on paper into a wall to connect with God that way. Maybe some of you grew up as Christians and you grew up in a Catholic tradition where you would maybe pray to Mary in order to intercede on your behalf to God. And while I wouldn't judge Catholicism as a tradition, I would say to us today that we have direct access to God. Jesus paved the way for us to do this. We don't need to put notes in a wall. We don't need to hold on to beads or look at icons or talk to dead people in order to talk to a living God. We can actually talk directly to God. Each and every one of you has the ability and the capacity to talk to God, but not only to talk to him, but to hear from him as well. God still speaks today. And that's the big idea of today's message. God still speaks. But oftentimes we're not listening. And oftentimes we don't know what it is that God is saying to us. And so we're going to spend most of our time today looking at the ways that God communicates to us today and then how we can even know if it's him. And so I've heard a lot of people say before, well, God told me to, or the Lord said, or God spoke, or Jesus is telling me. And oftentimes, you know, without being critical but being loving, I will really question people on that because I would say most of the time I've heard people say those things, it's not actually God. And I'm going to show you why we can find out those things aren't God. But I want you to know, more importantly than that, God does speak to you. God is likely speaking to you this week at some point. God is always speaking. We need to be listening. And so if we think that God speaks to us, how do we know it's him? How do you know that it is God? My family has a dog. It's really a rat. It's a large rat. And his name is Oscar, and it's spelled funny. It's spelled O-S-K-E-R, and he is a Chihuahua Terrier mix. And somehow Oscar has the uncanny ability to know who is coming home before they get home, and specifically who it is that's about to walk into the door. Now, there's something that he can do to know in particular that I am coming home, and him and I have a ritual when I come home of this strange little thing we do, this drama where my hand's a snake and he's to pray, and we go back and forth, and he literally will beg me to do it as I walk in the door. If that doesn't happen, we haven't actually connected. And so how do you know that God is speaking? How does he know it's me? How do we know? How does a baby know its mother's or its father's voice? How do we recognize people's voices in the places that we go? Years ago, about 15 years ago, my wife and I were in Universal Studios in Hollywood. In particular, we were at the Universal City Walk. And my niece, who was with me, her and I were both like, that voice sounds like Napoleon Dynamite. Now, if you've never seen Napoleon Dynamite, you're not even human, first of all. If you don't think Napoleon Dynamite is funny, you're not breathing. And young people today don't know what real humor is. But we're like, I hear a voice in the crowd that sounds like Napoleon Dynamite. And you said, well, how would you know what Napoleon Dynamite sounds like? It's because you've watched the movie. You've heard his movie. You've listened to his voice. And so we turn around, and sure enough, John Heder, who plays Napoleon Dynamite, who BTW is from Salem, he was right behind us. And so we heard his voice. We turned and we recognized it was him, and so we used our Salem card to have a conversation with Napoleon Dynamite. I think that Caitlin's grandma's here. I think Caitlin's dad was friends with John Heder, so that was kind of an in as well. And so whose voice do you recognize? What animations do you watch where you recognize celebrities' voices when they're voicing an actor or when they are behind masks and singing? What do you do to recognize people's voice? And I want you to know that if you need to know if it's God speaking to you, you need to know God's voice. You need to know God's voice. And you might ask yourself, well, what does God's voice sound like? Well, surely it must be very deep and booming and threatening, right? That needs to be the voice of God. And so Jesus says something interesting about these vertical talks in which we're listening to God. In John 10:27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So in order to know if it's God speaking to us through any kind of circumstance, you need to know the voice of God. You need to know his voice because you belong to him, just like he's a shepherd, just like I'm the master of my dog. My dog knows my voice. Just like my niece and I watched Napoleon Dynamite, we recognized his voice. We need to know the voice of God. How many of you enjoy reading? And as you read maybe a book that's not fiction, but maybe a nonfiction book written by an author about their life or giving us encouragement or giving us help or giving us advice or giving us knowledge, you'll read a book and you have a voice actually inside of your head that is that author's voice. How many of you have done that? And then maybe you actually watch an interview with them and you realize you were way off of what their voice sounded like. Or you listen to someone on the radio or a podcast, and then when you see them, what they look like, you're like, that's not at all what I pictured. That there is this uncanny ability for us to recognize the voice of Jesus because Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. They hear it. I know them. They follow me. And so Jesus actually says in John chapter 10, he says, he's the good shepherd. This is how people become my sheep. He says, in order to become the sheep of the shepherd Jesus, that you need to believe in Jesus. Jesus says, whosoever believes in me won't perish, but have everlasting life. In order to be a sheep of the shepherd, we need to believe in our good shepherd, Jesus. He says that we have to enter into salvation through and by him. He says, I am the door of the sheep. We have to enter into salvation through Jesus, and then we have to follow him. He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And so I'm here to tell you today, if you are following Jesus, if you believe in Jesus, if you've entered into salvation through and by Jesus alone, you will, because God promises you, you will come to know the voice of Jesus if you belong to him. And so if you don't believe in Jesus, you're not going to know his voice. I believe as Christians, if we're not actively following Jesus, we're not going to always know his voice. If we have not entered into salvation through Jesus, we know his voice. In fact, there will be others that will come along that will claim to be shepherds and will claim to be Jesus that we might follow because we're mistaken because we don't know the voice of the one true Jesus. But even then, there are people around the world today who are coming to faith in Christ without ever knowing Scripture. There are people today in countries where the gospel has not been proclaimed, where Jesus is actually visiting people in their dreams, where Jesus is speaking to people in what we would call miraculous, hypernatural ways to lead them to salvation. And so we also have to recognize that sometimes the recognizable call from God's voice to belong to him, the recognizable call from God's voice to follow him, the recognizable call of God's voice to believe in him, sometimes that comes before you ever become a sheep. Meaning sometimes before you've known anything about the gospel, God still intervenes and he rescues and he saves you. But once you belong to him, you've got to learn to know his voice. We say, well, Pastor, do I come to know Jesus and then learn his voice? Or do I learn his voice and then I belong to him? And I say, yeah. It's kind of both. But we've got to be able to learn and recognize what's God's voice and what's the voice in here. Because the voice in here tells me to do all sorts of things that God would never tell me to do. And it's very easy to get this voice confused with God's voice. And so if the sheep of the shepherd, if the sheep or the followers of Jesus know his voice, how can we truly know if it is his voice? How can we actually learn what that voice is? And here's the real easy answer for us today, and hopefully you're catching on to this, is that you've got to know his word if you want to know his voice. You have to know the Word of God if you want to be able to know the words of God. You've got to know the Word of God if you want to be able to recognize the voice of God. And so let's look at this scripture together found in 2 Timothy about God's Word, the Bible. 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17 says, all scripture is breathed out by God. All scripture breathed out by God. All scripture is profitable for teaching. All scripture is profitable for reproof. All scripture is profitable for correction. How many of you, God's word has ever corrected you before? God's word is profitable for training in righteousness. Why? Why is it these things? So that, it says, so that the man or the woman of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. If you don't know God's word, you'll never recognize his voice. I'm sorry. If you don't know God's word, you will never recognize his voice. See, you can't never read God's word and expect to know his will for your life. You can't never read God's word and especially expect to know his voice speaking over and to you. You've got to know what the heart of God is, and the heart of God is expressed through his word. And when you read his word, you begin to know his voice. If I never actually heard what my children were saying, I would never know their voice. Now, that is a confusing statement. And sometimes I'm very bad at hearing what my kids are saying. Sometimes I'm very bad at hearing what my wife is saying. You see, sometimes we hear voices with our ears, but our heart doesn't hear what people are actually saying. Because we've been trained to look at the tips of icebergs and not the actual mass of the heart that exists underneath the waterline. Sometimes you have to stop and listen very carefully, not with your ears, but with your heart, to know the true voice of your own children, to know the true voice of your wife or your husband or your mother or your father, your grandmother, your grandfather. Sometimes you don't know people's voice until they're gone. Some of you remember the voice of loved ones who have died, and you don't really remember the sound of their voice. What you're actually remembering is the sound of their heart. And so if you want to know the voice of God, you've got to learn to hear what he's saying. If you want to know what God's saying, he wrote it out for you in a book we call the Bible. That's what God's saying. And if you would listen to what he's saying with your heart, you'll begin to hear the voice of God in your own life. And so, okay, I'm reading scripture. I'm following Jesus. I know God's heart. I'm hearing things that I believe are coming from God. How can I know it's him? How can I know this feeling I have is from God? How do I know if this voice or this communication I'm getting is from God? Well, here's the primary way we can know if it's truly from him. We have to actually go back and test it according to his word. God will never tell you to do something that is contrary to his word. God will never lead you or impress upon you to do something that his word has already told us not to do. Oftentimes, I'm realizing God won't tell us things to do that his word has already told us to do. Oftentimes we will sit and we will pray about things that we're asking God, would you tell us what to do? And I think a lot of times God's saying, it's already there. It's already there for you. You already know my will. You already know my command to go and make disciples. You already know my command to love me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Quit asking me to tell you what to do when I've already told you. See, we've got to know God's word, and when we hear God's voice, we've got to test it according to his word. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and active. It's living and active. If you've really ever got into God's word, you'll find out right away this is not a normal book. It's living and it's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and it discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You see, and I know this is cheesy, but it's so true. The Bible is really the only book that reads you while you're reading it because it just stabs right through your intentions. And God's word is living and active. It's reading your heart as you're hearing the heart of God, and it's correcting you, challenging you, changing you, prompting you, comforting you. God's word is powerful, living, active. See, if what you're being told doesn't line up with God's word, it's not from God. Man, I could give a million examples. Think about it. What are some things that you felt like this is just the right thing to do? I know God's word says this, but he's given me peace in my heart about that. I know God's word tells me not to do this, but in our hearts we're already, you fill in the blank. And I don't want to kick dead horses or poke and prod at the sins we struggle with. But how many of you do that? You actually know that you know that you know what God's word says about relationships, love, sexuality, money, work ethic, evangelism, community. And we say, but in my heart, I feel, and this is why the Bible says, don't listen to your heart. The heart's deceptive. It's desperately sick. The reason why we need to learn God's heart from God's word is because our heart is pretty bad God to follow, because my heart wants to do all sorts of wicked things. But God wants what's best for me. And so we have to ask, this feeling I have from God, is it from God? And when we look at the word of God, we say, no, it's truly not. And so if we want to know God's voice, if we need to learn God's voice, if we need to test what we hear to make sure it's lining up with God's will, what are the ways that God actually does speak today? Like, how does God speak to me? Well, we're going to go to the Bible again because it's the way God speaks to you. Oftentimes within Christian circles, I'll hear people say, like, I'm just waiting and praying for a new revelation from God, or I got this great revelation, or I heard this great revelation, or I received a revelation. And I'm like, awesome. When was the last time you actually read Revelation? When was the last time you actually read God's word? Because I believe God does give us revelation. But the ultimate revelation God will ever give, has ever given, until the day he returns and makes all things new, is his word. It's living, active, unchanging. It's the way that God still communicates today. And if you want to have a conversation, a vertical talk with God, it always starts with his word. Well, Pastor, would you pray that God gives me a word? How many of you wanted that? Last week, I actually had people come up, like, you need to hear from God. You need a word from God. Let's lay hands on you and pray for you that God will give you a word. And I believe God gives us words, but did you know that God's already given us 750,000 words in the Bible? 750,000. The ultimate word from God is the word of God filled with 750,000 words just for you and me from God. God still speaks. So if you want to hear from God, if you want God to speak to you, go to his word. Look at Matthew 4. Jesus says, it is written. And this is when he's being tempted by the enemy. The enemy will tempt us with the word of God. We fight back with the word of God. Jesus quotes the book of Deuteronomy. He says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, I know some of you are like, we can't eat bread. Well, your life is so boring, and I'm so sorry for you. I love bread. My wife just discovered literally the best sourdough bread I've ever had in my life from Costco. It's sealed. You put it in the oven. It's like, wow, I have just gone to a fancy restaurant where they cook an amazing bread. Thank you, Costco, for carrying that bread. And as much as I love bread, Jesus said, you can't live by bread alone. My wife has to remind me of this often. Like, there needs to be some meat, some vegetables. I'm good with carbs. That's all I need. And so you can't live by bread alone. Jesus says, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. When we read God's word, we're actually eating God's word. It's the only book you can actually eat and have it fill your spirit as you consume the spiritual food that God has for us in his word. So the primary way God communicates is through his word. But there's other ways God communicates outside of his word. So we're not going to say it's only the Bible. There are some Christians today that say the only way God communicates is through his Bible. And I would say, but the only problem with that is the Bible. There's a lot of ways God communicates that he still does for us today. So we have to ask ourselves, is that his voice? Can we prove and test that it's actually from him? And here's a couple of ways God talks to us today. Number one, outside of scripture, is this. These are all on your app. Promptings, urgings, discernings. Let's say, what does that mean, Pastor? It means like, oh, I've got this prompting to do this thing. I've got this urge in my gut to go do this thing. I have this discernment that I'm supposed to do this particular thing. And so how do you know if that's from God or not? Well, you need to ask, what is it? You know, usually when I get those kind of promptings, if it's from God, it's usually something I don't want to do. Hey, go pray for that person. That's not from God. Go share your story with that person. God is more concerned about my comfort than their salvation. Go share your faith with somebody. Go help this person move. God, you know I don't like to help people move. Like, those are usually the kind of promptings and urgings and discernings that we get. Go show love and compassion to this person. Well, but you don't know what they've done, God. So the promptings and urgings and discernings we get, they're usually things you don't want to do. They're usually things that bring you outside of your comfort zone. And so you've got to ask, does that sound like God's voice? Then you've got to ask, can I test and align that to God's word? And when you get those things, you say, well, is that something God would want me to do? Would God want me to share my faith in Jesus with someone else? Yeah, because he says, go make disciples. Would God want me to pray for someone? Absolutely. These are things God would want. But I've got to tell you, sometimes I've got those promptings. Sometimes I've gotten those urgings. Sometimes I've gotten those discernings where I feel like this could be God's voice. It does align with God's word. And I would say 70% of the time, I still don't know if it's God or not. So I should stop and not do it, right? Well, if I don't know 100% if it's God, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go help that person move unless God tells me. The only problem with that is the book of James. Book of James chapter 1, the Spirit speaking through Jesus' own brother, James, who didn't believe in Jesus while he was living, but then came to worship him as God, as the resurrected Savior and King. He said, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. So if God puts something good on your heart, and you say, I don't know if that's God. If it's something good, you do it anyways. Because every good and perfect gift is from God. Doctors, medicine, Napoleon Dynamite, things like that. Every good and perfect gift is from God. But it's always going to line up with his word. How else does God communicate? Well, last week, we spent a whole week looking at one way he communicates. He communicates through prophecy. God will speak through other people directly, or put things or words on people's hearts to share directly to us. And so when that happens, how do we know if it's God? Does it line up with his word? And does it line up with his voice? If someone comes to you and says, brother, sister, I got a word from the Lord for you. Say, awesome, let me hear it, and I'll weigh it out. Don't receive every word someone gives you. If they give you a word from the Lord, listen to it and then go to the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5, test everything. Test everything. Hold fast to what is good. So God will communicate to you through promptings, urgings, discernings, through prophecy, but test those things and see if they line up with God's voice and his word. Speaking of God's voice, how else does God speak to us? God actually speaks directly to us with his actual voice. This ever happened to you before? God speaks directly to us with his voice. Well, explain. There's one time in my life where I know that I know that I know that God spoke to me audibly, that I could hear it in my ear while I was around a group of people and no one else heard it. So, Pastor, you might have had schizophrenia. God wouldn't give me the message he did if it was schizophrenic, because it was a message of dying to myself and serving him. I had to ask myself, does this sound like God's voice? And I said, yeah, because I know his word. It does sound like his voice. I had to test it. Did this line up with God's word? And yeah, it did. But I brought it beyond that. I needed to test it with other people. I think I'm crazy, and I heard the voice of God. Well, what did God tell you? And I told them, like, oh, yeah, that was God. Because only God would actually call you to do that thing. So sometimes God speaks audibly. Sometimes God's voice speaks directly to you with his voice in your mind. This happens more often with me, and I don't know about you. We all experience these things differently, but sometimes it's like we hear the voice of God, but it's in our head and not in our ears. Sometimes it's in our heart. God is speaking. Are you listening? 1 Samuel 3:10. Here we find the story of Samuel. Samuel is this young boy who's being called by God. He's serving in the temple, and he keeps hearing this voice saying, "Samuel, Samuel." And the final time, 1 Samuel 3:10, it says, "The Lord came and stood calling at other times." He came and stood. Like somehow the manifest presence of God was right next to this boy's place that he was sleeping in the temple. And he says, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." God speaks to you. And I'd encourage you in small groups this week, if you're in a group, a sermon reflection group, talk with confidence and without fear of rejection about times where God has spoken to you in your heart, in your mind, or actually to your ears, and let your faith be built as you hear other people's story. God doesn't only speak through promptings and urgings. He doesn't only speak through his word. He doesn't only speak through prophecy. He doesn't only speak through his voice directly to us. God also speaks to us in visions and dreams. Acts chapter 2, Peter, as he's preaching, when people receive the Spirit, he says, "This is the time that the prophecies spoke of in days of old. Young men will have visions. Old men will have dreams." Has God ever spoken to you in a dream or a vision before? There was a vision of the resurrected Jesus that Saul encountered on his road to Damascus, where he was converted to follow Jesus and become Paul. There was a vision that Peter received of animals coming out of the sky in a sheet, and God spoke to him through that to go and reach the Gentiles. The entire books of Ezekiel and the latter part of the book of Daniel and the book of Isaiah is filled with visions that the prophets had. The book of Revelation is a vision that John the apostle has. So God speaks through visions and through dreams. I can remember at 20 years old, I was in a rental house that my wife and I lived in, and I was very insecure about my security in Christ. I was questioning my faith a year into my faith journey of belonging to Jesus. And I was crying out, "Do I belong to you? Am I a Christian? Can I lose my salvation? Am I really saved?" All these things that sometimes young people wrestle with, and it's good to wrestle with. And that night as I was sleeping, and for some reason I remember, like, that night we watched Survivor. I'll always remember that. Like, God will give you little markers to remember. This is like season one of Survivor. And I remember going to bed that night, and I have this dream that's so vivid, that's so real. And this dream is the throne room of God, and it's hundreds of feet tall, with white pillars everywhere, and a giant throne in front of me, and a bright light sitting on the throne. And I hear this deep voice. God's got a deep voice, right? He just got to. I hear this deep voice from God saying, "Anthony, you are my son, and you belong to me." And I woke up in an instant, and I knew God answered my prayer. God hears your prayers, and then he communicates back to you. He chose that time to communicate to me in a dream. And I can say there's probably only about two dreams I've ever had where I knew they were from God, and a whole lot of other dreams where I wake up and say, "I really hope that meant nothing. I really hope that is just me and not the dream," because I've dreamed some really weird stuff before. How many of you had some really, 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 really strange dreams? You have a dream, like, you can't even look at someone for, like, a week. Like, "Yeah, I had a dream about you. We can't look at each other. Like, you died. We made out. We were married." Like, you've had them. Like, "Well, pastor, not you." We weird dreams. Weird dreams with weird people, and weird stuff happens. And sometimes, and most of the time, they mean nothing. But every once in a while, God will hit you with a vision. Or God will hit you with a dream. Numbers 12, verse 6. God speaking to Israel about prophets. I never really paid attention to this verse before. He says, "Hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream." Joseph dreams and interprets dreams in the book of Genesis. Daniel interprets dreams in the book of Daniel. God speaks through dreams. Next, how else does God communicate? God communicates through circumstances. God communicates through media. How many of you have been listening to a song before while you're driving? It doesn't matter what song it is. Even if you're listening to country, God can still use evil. If you're driving, you're listening to a song, and sometimes I've had God just blast me upside the head with a song that had nothing directly to do about God, but somehow, because God's sovereign, the song wasn't written just for me, but God communicated to me through that song. That ever happened to you before? All the single ladies. What song was it that communicated to you? It's to me, I'm single. There are songs that God communicates. I was at a memorial service a couple weeks ago, and I just want to admit before all of you right now, there were some country songs played on the slideshow that in my heart I actually kind of liked. I was like, oh, I feel so convicted by this. But there's music and songs, and sometimes you're watching a movie that God will speak to you through a movie, and it's not made just for you, but God speaks to you through it. If you think about it, the parables are this. Jesus speaks to us through circumstances. Hey, there was a guy that was planting a field. There was someone who built a house. There was a man who died. There was this. There was that. It will be like this. Jesus used circumstances that we are familiar with to speak to us and through us. Last couple things. God communicates to all of us through nature. He communicates to all of us through nature. Now, I get really annoyed when people say, well, I'm going to go out in the woods this weekend because that's my church. And if I'm feeling really super Christian, I'll say, hey, it's not. It's not your church. The church is the body of believers gathered together in sacrament and worship and preaching to proclaim the name of Jesus. The trees don't do that. But I get it at the same point. I also get it. Nature is always speaking to us for God. Romans 1 says, what can be known about God is plain to all of us because God has shown it to us. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so that all of us are without excuse. Sometimes you just got to go out into the night sky and look up at those stars, and not worship those stars, but worship the maker of those stars. Sometimes you have to go out into nature and breathe fresh air. Have salt water wind blow against your face. Dip your foot in the 2-degree Oregon Pacific Ocean water. Go to the Caribbean and have the water be too hot to swim. And just say, yes, God actually made this. And I'm not going to worship it. And that's our problem, especially here in the Northwest. We're very pagan culture, actually. We're not called to worship nature. But we're called to see that all nature is actually worshiping God. Psalms 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the sky above proclaims his handiwork. I think that some of you need to hear from God, and God is actually calling you out into nature just to sit, to be, to listen, to be quiet, to observe, and watch as nature teaches us a lesson. The animal kingdom teaches us lessons about God. Finally, God speaks to us however he wants, right? He speaks to us however he wants. In Exodus, he uses a burning bush. Of all things I would think to use, I would not use a burning bush. But God speaks to Moses through a burning bush. Numbers 22, God can use a donkey if he wants to. That's what he does. He speaks through a donkey in Numbers 22. God speaks many times in Scripture through angels. He didn't need to. He doesn't have to, but God will talk to you however he wants. And here's the bottom line. Oftentimes, what he's trying to say in our lives, whether it's through promptings, prophecy, God's own word, nature, the voice of God directly to us, oftentimes those things go completely unnoticed because we're too busy looking at the wrong things. See, we want God to show up in a beam of light like this. We want God to show up with an angel choir singing, with his voice giving an amazing backdrop to the vocals. We want God to shake the earth beneath our feet. So I knew it was God because the earth shook. We want that loud, booming voice from God. If a dove doesn't descend upon me from heaven, it's not from God. We want those things, don't we? People get so weird. Like, I saw a dove in front of my house today. It landed on the telephone pole. It was God. I know, it just was a dove. A light shined on me. It shined on all of us. It's called the sun. The ground shook. Yeah, and you should have dropped and took cover. You know, God can speak however he wants, but we're so expecting these big, bold, loud, obnoxious, bright, fantastic with firework things. God's never spoke to me like that before. Not once. Never. Doesn't mean he won't. Doesn't mean he can't. Doesn't mean he won't with you. But we're so busy, and here's what it actually is. We're so busy being distracted by the noise and distractions around us. Well, God is right here with us, speaking in a still, small voice. Just be quiet sometimes. Just stop. Observe. Listen. Open your heart. See what it is God's trying to say. But this is so distracting, isn't it? This is so distracting. This is so distracting. Whatever we is so distracting. Sometimes I have to go, take a hike or work out or listen to something to get my mind in a place to hear from God. But if I'm not careful, it becomes about working out, hiking, and listening to something instead of listening to God. Here's the final verse as our worship team comes up and leads us in a time of song. 1 Kings 19, chapter 11 and 12. Here we've got the prophet Elijah. He's on top of Mount Carmel. He has this duel, basically, with the prophets of the god Baal. Who's the real God? Who's going to show up in might and in power? And the prophets of Baal, they think that they're going to hear from their God because they're making a lot of noise. They're dancing. They're cutting themselves. They're bleeding all over. They've gone into a religious worship fanatic frenzy. A lot of Christian churches think that's what they need to do to hear from God too. They go into this total frenzy to hear from their God, and absolutely nothing happens. Elijah, being the man of God he is, says, hey, maybe Baal's on the toilet. That's what he says. It's the Bible, Pastor. That's offensive. It's scripture. And so when they finish their frenzy, Elijah has people dump all this water on the altar, so much so there's a whole canal of water, a moat of water surrounding the altar. And he gives the sacrifice, and he doesn't light it. God lights it. God blazes flames from the heavens, burns up the sacrifice so much that it laps up all the water that's there. And Elijah experiences this great, great, great booming, shaking, firing fireworks, doves in the sky, clouds of rain coming, voice of God. And he does what a lot of us do. We have these radical encounters with God, and we go right back to fear. And he runs. He doesn't just run. He runs dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of miles to the south. And he goes on top of what's likely Mount Sinai, where God speaks to Moses at the flaming bush, actually. And he's depressed. He's suicidal. He's wanting to die. And as he's there, he goes into a cave to hide because he's just so ticked that God showed up and did great things. I've done that before, by the way. It makes no sense. Get ticked when God shows up and does great things. And God speaks to Elijah audibly and says, I love what he asked me. He says, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? I think God's saying that to some of us this morning. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? And Elijah's, it doesn't say it, but it's implied he's mad that God asks the question. And so he reverts into the cave, and God says, why don't you come out of the cave, Elijah, and let me speak to you? So Elijah steps out of the cave. And what is there? There's an earthquake. There's a mighty wind. There's fire. All the things that we're expecting God to show up in. And each time these three things happen, God's word says, but God was not in the wind. God was not in the earthquake. And Elijah stood there, and it says that God came and spoke to him in a still, small voice. If you look at it in Hebrew, the better translation would actually be God speaks to him in silence. God speaks to Elijah in silence. And however that looked like for Elijah, however he perceived it, God asks him the same question. What are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah shares his complaints with God, and God says, okay, you're wrong. Get up off this cave, off this mountain. Go back. I'm still for you. God still speaks today. You may have had radical encounters with God when you were in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, and you're like, I'm an old woman now. I'm an old man. God's not going to do those things. I'm just telling you, he is. He's going to. He actually is now. I think you're probably just not listening. But what I will tell you is it's probably not going to look like what it did before. You actually need to stop and listen. Maybe now is the season God's going to talk to you with doves and earthquakes and fire. Maybe now God's going to talk to you through a broken down car. Maybe now God's going to talk to you through your boss and things that maybe you don't want to hear. Stop, listen, know God's voice, test what you hear according to his word. If it's good, do what you've been prompted to do, but hold on to that word no matter what you do. Elijah let go of the word that God spoke over his life, and he got discouraged. And that's when I get discouraged, by the way, too. I get discouraged the moment I start forgetting what God has already told me. And the moment I forget what he told me is usually the moment I stop listening to what he wants to continue to say. Would you bow your heads? With no one looking around, I just take this attitude of prayer and worship and meditation on God's word. Your divorce does not prevent God from speaking to you. You heard things about your marriage that you didn't see come to pass. God wants you to know his word didn't change. Hold on tight to things he told you. He's still speaking. That thing doesn't disqualify you from hearing. You may feel abandoned by a parental figure in your life. You've been hurt, discouraged, broken. That doesn't change what God says about you, that you're his son or his daughter. People may have hurt you with their words before. God's word will never bring hurt. It might challenge you. It might hurt, but it won't bring hurt. God's word is true, everlasting, and it does not change. What is God saying to you now? What is he speaking over your life? What's he speaking over the life of this church? What's he speaking over the church? What's he speaking over Salem? What's he speaking over this or that or this or that? God speaks. Will you stop and listen? It probably won't happen in a church service like this either, by the way. It might. But for me, God's way more likely to speak in the shower, in the car, while I'm mowing the lawn, while I'm hiking, while I'm exercising, while I'm doing something that he'll just kind of shake up what I'm doing a little bit. It's cool if God speaks to us through church, but it typically doesn't happen like that. It's kind of happening now as I'm preaching God's word. My words aren't God's, but God's word is God's word. I'm speaking to you today. So he's speaking this way, but how is he going to speak to you this week? Stop. Listen. It might just be like, hey, you probably shouldn't click on that. You probably shouldn't go there. You probably shouldn't text her. You probably shouldn't seek him out. You probably shouldn't treat her like that. Listen, that's God's voice, by the way. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. He gives all of us a conscience. He speaks to every believer through his Holy Spirit. Listen, 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 listen. God, speak, we're listening. Speak to our hearts. Speak audibly. Speak prophetically. Speak through your nature. Speak through our circumstances. Speak in our dreams. Speak in our visions. Speak through your word. And let us know your voice and follow. God, if there is a distracting voice that's drowning yours out because we're letting it, would you stop that voice in Jesus' name? God, if there are false gods in the lives of this church, gods of sex, money, literal pagan evil gods, any kind of god that's trying to speak to us, the prince of the power of the air, you call the deceiver, you call the devil, if he's trying to speak to us, God, would we filter out those voices? Would we filter out demonic voices? Would we filter out the voices of real cults that exist in our community? And speak to us through your word so that we can hear and hear plainly. One last thing I'll do before we sing this one last song is this. If you say, I don't know Jesus today, and I need to know God. Here's what his word says, that God loved you so much that he gave his son, Jesus. Jesus lived for you, he died for you, he rose again. Defeated Satan, sin, hell, death, gives you forgiveness, restored relationship, everlasting life, his spirit. Whosoever believes in his son will not perish, but have everlasting life. So, Pastor, how do I receive that salvation? Well, the Bible says it's by grace you've been saved. It's a free gift that God gives that we don't deserve, but he gives freely. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. Faith is not simple belief, by the way. Faith is not church attendance or religious behavior. Faith is trust in God, trust against all hope. I trust in that grace. By grace you've been saved through faith. So receive that gift this morning. Say, Pastor, how do I know if I'm supposed to do that right now? Because you actually feel God prompting you, urging you, calling you to belong to him. You're starting to hear his voice right now. And he says, my sheep hear my voice. They know it and they'll follow me. So if you hear the voice of the shepherd, you've never followed him before, and he's calling you to come and follow him. I want you to know that's Jesus. It's not Fellowship Church. It's not Christianity. It's not a pastor. That's Jesus calling you to belong to him. God's word is living, it's active, it doesn't return void. That means as it hits your heart right now, it actually has to do something. It's either going to cause you to reject Christ or to follow him in faith. If you'd say, today I don't know Jesus, but today I want to know him, with no one looking around, would you raise your hand as high as you can, just as an act of faith today, say, today I choose you, Jesus. Put your hand up as high as you can, put it right back down. Say, today I choose Jesus. I choose Christ. I choose grace. I choose faith. And I hear the voice of Jesus calling me, and I'm going to follow. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for its truth. I thank you for its power. Speak to us as we leave, as we sing, as we go through our week. Speak to us, God. We are listening. In Jesus' name, amen.